714 people waiting on trolleys yesterday. It's a new record and an unwanted record.
There's a depressing predictability about all of this now every year. It's the Hardy annual. It's the perennial story. And I think that there's a, because of the predictability, there is an acceptance that natural human processes will ultimately relieve the crisis, that people will get better, that people will lie on trolleys long enough, and then they eventually the weather helps, summer comes.
Yeah.
But remember a former minister calling it Angola all those years ago.
Yeah, this is
the Department of Health. Every year we're promised that this will be the last year that we have these awful queues. And we, every year, the latest minister, Simon Harris, he's been talking today, we heard a clip from him there, where he's saying, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. He was the latest minister who stormed into Angola with all guns blazing and firing off promises. But I have to say, his gallant ambitions and his eloquent words and the conviction behind his words have softened considerably, as has his rhetoric. In other words, the realisation, there is very little you can do about it. And finally, my last point about it is, our Taoiseach was there, and I see in some of this morning's papers and in some of the clips, he is expressing how he is baffled. And he's also a former minister for health.
Yeah, there's nothing baffling about it. And the reality is, Paul, we don't want to solve the trolley crisis because we're not interested in doing what needs to be done. Radical reforms are needed. Yes, money is needed, and that would need more taxes. We probably do need more beds. But that in itself is nowhere near enough. Our hospitals, a lot of them are badly run. There's poor work practices. The hospitals are run for staff more than for patients. The HSE unions are too militant. We had a maternity hospital that didn't open a few years ago because there was a row over who put the light bulbs in. There's too many people in emergency departments that shouldn't be there. Services should be 24 hours. They're largely 8 to 5. But if you want to change that, it would cause massive industrial action. The public would immediately back the frontline workers. No government is going to do that. So look, it's all hot air. It's all cliches. All those concerns being expressed, the chin rubbing, the head scratching. We don't want to do, we haven't the stomach to do what needs to be done. And it's going to get worse. And at some point in the future, we'll all be talking about 1,000 people.
It seems to me,
it's inevitable.
The bottom line here from your point there is that the unions are perhaps the biggest villain in all of this plot.
There's multiple players, but unions seem to be the biggest player from what you're saying.
I wouldn't
put it in any one particular direction. There is no appetite to do what needs to be done. And unless that changes, we'll be talking about this forever.
Well, 53106, our listeners can tell us what they think should be done about it. And maybe that'll go into the pot as well. Okay, let's stay with that subject. The idea of our parents and loved ones on a trolley waiting for a bed is very distressing, to say the least. And our next guest, Rhoda Judge, recently experienced this firsthand. Rhoda, you found yourself in St. James's A&E in Dublin with your mum, Goretti. What happened?
Well, I brought my mum into A&E on Thursday afternoon, and she was actually only admitted early Friday evening to a ward. So she was actually on a trolley for around 26 hours. My mum is 70 years of age, and she's a really strong woman. She's a typical Irish mammy. She's involved in her community. She worked all her life. You know, she's one of these women who worked from the age of 14, doing all sorts, got us all through school, college, gets a small state pension, then finds herself that she has asthma. She got diagnosed with asthma a few years ago, and she got a chest infection recently. So had to be going to A&E. Now, I will say she was rushed through because she couldn't breathe. But once we reached triage, from triage to the time she got into the ward, it was roughly around 26 hours. And the reason why I'm telling you, Paul, that she was a strong woman is because suddenly, when you see your strong woman lying with other elderly people on trolleys side by side, you realise your mom isn't so strong and that she looks very, very vulnerable. And it actually breaks your heart to actually see that. People that are in their 70s and older, all lined up. There were some people who were horizontal, side by side, and then if you look down the corridor, there were people along the wall. It sounds
like a war zone.
Paul, honestly, society has a lot to answer for. Like I was saying to my mom, like we have to hold our leaders accountable, right, to a higher standards. And I absolutely think that's really important that we do have this high standard. Paul, what I'm saying to you is, you and I also have to have that high standard. We have to raise our standards and say this is actually unacceptable. I'm that person in the car listening to somebody go on about their mother in the trolley, on the trolley, on the during the crisis. Do you know that? I'm the person on the sofa watching TV going, isn't it terrible about all those old people on trolleys?
Everybody says that. We never think about these things until it affects us. And we hear these horror stories for years and years, but no, you are right. Loads of ministers, minister after minister after minister, and famously it was coined, they nicknamed it the Department of Health Angola because it was a war zone with so many intractable problems. But the ministers have promised again and again and again to do something about it. Simon Harris, the latest one, and they don't seem to be able to get to grips with it. And our Taoiseach this morning, former health minister, saying he's baffled by all of this.
Does that not shock you? That actually shocks me and it frightens me. Because I honestly don't think it's a question of capability. I actually think it's a question of motivation. And if they can actually get the motivation, it can be fixed because the system is broken. It is broken. And unless they realise, do you know something, let's change it, let's fix it. But the motivation has to be there, and I really don't think it is.
What was your experience with the staff, the nurses and the doctors?
Do you know something? I was sitting beside my mum, and we hadn't eaten, we were absolutely starving. And one of the girls came over to us, she was going, bringing her down to the x-ray department, and she saw we were talking about food, and said, listen, I'll go get you a sandwich. So, and she was as lovely and friendly, and I couldn't speak highly enough of her. She was just so friendly. And she came back with two sandwiches, and my God, at that moment, they were absolutely delicious because we were so hungry.
What did your mum say to you when she was going through this experience?
Paul, she's like any typical Irish 70, 80-year-old. Aren't they lovely? Aren't they doing their best? Stop complaining. It's fine. I have a bed. Who needs? This is the joke. She hadn't got a pillow. The pillow was the big thing. I couldn't believe she hadn't got a pillow. This is ridiculous. Why can't she have a pillow? She's going to be sleeping overnight. She's no pillow. I said, look, we'll get out of this. It'll be fine. I'll get to a ward eventually.
And you said as well, most of the people in these cluttered corridors were elderly people as well.
People. Would you believe? I was actually asked to leave at 12:15 on Friday afternoon. I was actually asked to leave A&E. This big announcement came over the intercom asking all the visitors. Now, when I say visitors, they weren't visitors. There were people with their elderly parent or who actually brought them into the
A&E. To comfort them. You're not there to visit, no.
No, they wasn't there in visit. And people generally only had one person. A security guard, and I think she turned out to be the patient liaison officer, came over to me and said, you know, there was an intercom. And she said, they're perfectly lovely. And she said, there's an announcement, you have to leave the A&E. And I said, I'm not leaving the A&E. I'm not leaving my mom. Absolutely no way. And I was sitting in front of a washhand basin, right? Mm. And I said, why do you want me to leave anyway? Like, I'm in no one's way. We want to put another trolley there. That's why I had to leave. And that's why I had to leave my mom, because they actually wanted to put another trolley right beside her.
Can I just ask you, this is something we'll be talking about again and again, and thank you very much for being so brave and taking the call. How is your mum now?
She's a lot better, to be quite honest. She's got type 2 diabetes, she has asthma, and she has a chest infection. And the amount of steroids she's on, her diabetes has gone through the roof, so she'd be in longer than we thought.
Well, Rhoda Judge, we wish you and your mum all the very, very best, and thanks again for taking the time out to speak to us this morning.